want to present an idea to you that I'm not 100% sure of. It's an interesting idea, and I'll let you decide if it has worth value or not. And I'm happy Rabbi Carmen's here because I know that I'll be able to test it out and find out if it's worth saying. Okay, for the next time. Okay. This month that we are just beginning is called Mar Cheshvan. Okay, that is not two words, Mr. Cheshvan. It is one word, Mar Cheshvan. That's the name of the month. And some say that it hints to the fact that it's a bitter month, because it's the only month in the year, basically, where there are no Yomim Tovim. Hold off before you jump down my throat. That's not the part that's not difficult. Let's see. Tishrei is full of Yomim Tovim. We don't have to mention them. Kislev and Teves have Hanukkah. Hanukkah goes into Teves. Okay? What? Yeah, Nasara but Teves also, which we'll see. In any case, but holiday. Yes, Kislev has Hanukkah. Kislev and Teves. Shvat has Tu B'Shvat. Adar has Purim. Nisan has Pesach, Iyar has Pesach Sheni, Sivan is Shavuos, Tammuz has a special day, Shavuot B'Tammuz, and Av has a special day which is called the Moed Tisha B'Av. Okay, we'll get to Elul in a second. But there's even more than that. It's more than just, and Elul is the beginning of the 40-day process that ends in Yom Kippur, so it's really part of the whole process. That's one way of looking at it. There's another way. It says that if there hadn't been a Chet HaEgel, there would have been a Yontif in Tammuz, Av, and Elul. Each of them would have had Yomim Tovim. But because of the Chet HaEgel, those Yomim Tovim were pushed away. And they all were then put into Tishrei. So really, the three Yomim Tovim in Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, really should have been in Tammuz, Av, and Elul. That was the original plan. And the only Yontif that would have been in Tishrei was Shmini Atzeres. But it didn't work out like that. So, but at least there was an idea that those 3 months should have had Yomim Tovim, or they do have something the way we explained. The only one that has nothing, and I didn't find any medrash that says there should have been a Yomtif in Cheshvan, is Cheshvan. It has no real Yomtif in it, and therefore it's called Mar Cheshvan, Bitter Cheshvan, without any special days in it. What? Ah, because of that, maybe. I'm saying, but that was a Chodesh above the Milibo. Right. Right. So, I think, though, that's just the opposite. There's a reason why there is no specific Yontif in Mar Cheshvan, and the Mar represents it. There's a Medrash that says like this, Bereishis Rabbah, Simen Yud Gimel. The Medrash says, Goy Echad Sholes Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. A Goy once asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, Atem yesh lochem moados, v'anu yesh lochem moados. We both have holidays. You have your holidays, we have our holidays, lahavda. B'shosh atem smeichim, einonu smeichim. When you're happy, we're not happy. When we're happy, you're not happy. Emosai onu v'atem smeichim. When are we all happy? B'yiridas kishon. When it rains. That's everybody's holiday. A rainy day is everybody's holiday. If you think about it, the rain is a very, very important thing. So everybody's happy. Rain comes equally for Goyim, Yidden, Rishoyim, Tzadikim. Everybody benefits. That's the holiday for everybody. And therefore, the word Mar, according to many opinions, represents the idea of the drop of rain. Drop of rain is called Mar. Right? Doesn't mean bitter. It has the connotation of what's it called, the drops of rain. And that's a Yontif. So Cheshvan doesn't need a separate Yontif. The whole month is a Yontif, because that's the beginning of Omer HaGeshomim. All the real times for rain all fall during Cheshvan. The Yoreh, the Malk, all of the Iker beginnings of rain, rainfall, the rainy season, is in Cheshvan. Right? If it goes beyond Cheshvan, it's already delayed, it's already start fasting, whatever. But, and therefore, what's it called? We find that Geshomim, hold up the question until I finish, okay? We find that Geshomim, rains, have in them the concept of all the holidays. Why? We have a Chazal that says that Godel Yom HaGeshomim Yosher Mitchias HaNesim, and Yeshua, part of a Ravabo, and it's Godel Kiyom Kibbutz Galios. What are all those things symbolic of Pesach? Kibbutz Galios is Geula, Yeshua, Tchias HaNesim. We read on Pesach the Haftorahs of Tchias HaNesim, because Pesach is the ultimate Geula. Tchias HaNesim, B'nisan Nigalu, B'nisan Asidum Nigoyal, that's when Tchias HaNesim is going to be. So that's Pesach. It's Keneged Tchias HaNesim, Yeshua, Geula, and so on. Kibbutz Galios. It's another Medrash says that Godel Yom HaGeshomim Kiyom Shenitna Bo Torah. That's like Shavuos, right? Kiyom Shenivru Shamayim Va'aretz, like Rosh Hashanah. Nimchalu Avos Noseim, sins are forgiven when it rains. It's like Yom Kippur, right? And it says that there's tremendous simcha when it rains. Everybody's happy, and a person's possessions are blessed. Even business is blessed during the rain. Even the stock market goes up when it rains. That's like Sukkot, Chag Ha'asi, Samachta B'Chagecha. So, what's it called? All the Yamin Tovim D'Oraisa have a rainy day, the Chazal say, has a connection to that. And rain is one of the keys that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reserves for himself, doesn't give out to a Shliach. So just like a Yomtif, a Moed, means a confrontation with God. That's why Tisha B'Av is also a Moed. You come face to face with God, sometimes through happiness, sometimes through tragedy. But that's a Moed. So when it rains, you come face to face with the Ribbono Shel Olam, because that's a key that the Ribbono Shel Olam wields directly. And the rains are a tremendous chesed. Right? Rain, it says that it didn't rain until Adam HaRishon was created, and he recognized the tremendous good and chesed that rain represents, and he davened for it. So rain is a representation of chesed. Okay? If that's all true, right, rain is mamish like a yantif, and they have a whole month that itself is a yantif because it's the rainy season, and rain is a chesed, then, all this was just a preface, then the question is, why did God choose to destroy the world with rain? The Mabul was generated by rain. Now, it could have been generated not with rain. Could have been generated that the oceans overflow, like they did the first time there was a flood. In the time of Enosh, the third of the world was destroyed with a flood, a tsunami. But it was a tsunami. It wasn't rain. But here, the flood was generated by rain. Geshem, 40 days and 40 nights. It wasn't that the oceans overflowed. It wasn't a tsunami. It was because of rainfall, even though there was other causes, but the rainfall was the major thing. By Yikolea Geshem in Hashemayim, Geshem. It was Geshem that brought this marble. Why would God destroy the world with what normally is a symbol of chesed? Now, there are Midrashim that seemingly explain that, but they don't. The Midrash says, why were they inundated with water, boiling water? Because hein kilkul b'roschim, and therefore the Rabbam shall punish them with roschim. Roschim is a euphemism for sexual sins, right? And because they sinned with hot liquid, so they were inundated with hot liquid. That doesn't answer why rain. It could have been hot liquid of the oceans that overflowed, just like in the time of Enosh. Why rain? Another thing it says, they said, this is more close to answering why rain, but we'll see it doesn't answer the question still. They said, "Klum anu tzrichim l'Hashem, rak bishvil kipa shel gishom." We don't need God. They had perfected their high tech, right? Their, what's it called? What's the world? To be able to control the world with their
technology.
Technology, thank you. That's exactly the word. Thank you very much. Technology, right? They had perfected technology, and they said, we basically don't need God for anything. There's only one thing we need God for that we can't mamish produce, is rain. Drops of rain. So we need God for rain. And even that, we don't need him so much, because we have rivers and lakes or whatever that can take care of it. So therefore, me the connected me, they said, you only need me for rain, I'll show you what rain can do. But really, it should be just the opposite. When people don't do what deserves rain, it doesn't rain floods, it doesn't rain. God should have showed them that they can't function on their own and held back the rain. The Otzer Es HaShamayim. That should have been the punishment. There should have been a worldwide drought. And that's how people should have died. Not a flood, at least not generated by rain. Make a drought, and that they couldn't benefit from the rain, and they'd be dying of a drought, and then inundate them with the flood. That would have been. But why the rain? Why bring them rain because they said that we don't need God except for rain? Don't bring them rain. Punish them with the absence of rain. Therefore, I want to say something that I know is not so simple to say, but I think it's possible. Okay, now they got you ready. We'll tell you what to say. Rain, Taka, is the manifestation of God's chesed in the world. All the things that are representative of chesed, of total giving. Chesed, we'll discuss in a second what chesed exactly is, but chesed is basically the total giving. No taking, just giving, total, unconditional giving. All the things that are representative of total, unconditional giving is represented physically by rain. How so? Rain is a euphemism for Tchias HaMesim, right? It's Gadol Yom HaGshamim K'Tchias HaMesim. And that's why the bracha of rain, or the Haskara of Gevuras G'Shamim, is in the bracha of Tchias HaMesim. Because it brings everything back to life. So it's a euphemism for Tchias HaMesim. In fact, it says that God will bring the dew, which is like the rain of Tchias HaMesim. What's it called? That's what revives the dead. Rain and dew. So rain is a euphemism for Tchias HaMesim. Tchias HaMesim is the chesed that God intended. When God created the world, why did he create the world? He created the world because God is the ultimate good. And he wanted to shower his goodness on a creation that could receive that good. What is that goodness? What we call Olam Haba, which is after Tchias HaMesim, the final stage of all creation, of all existence, is after Tchias HaMesim, there'll be Olam Haba. Whatever that Olam Haba is, it's after Tchias HaMesim. Either it is this world, a physical, perfect world, or a spiritual world that comes after Tchias HaMesim. Whatever it is, it's after Tchias HaMesim. So that's the ultimate. God wanted to shower his goodness, and everything until then is only a means to reach that end. The end is Tchias HaMesim, that's chesed, that's rain. Rain is God's giving, unconditional, because rain, like we said, affects everybody. Goyim, Yidin, Rishoyim, Tzadikim, everybody's happy. It's an unconditional giving. Then, it also represents Torah. Yarov kamotar likhi. Rain is a euphemism for Torah. Torah is the ultimate chesed in this world that God gave us. He gave us the Torah, which is Tchilasa Gemilas Chasodim and Sofa Gemilas Chasodim. All the Gemilas Chasodim we say in the morning, Hachnosis Kala and Hachnosis Orchim and Alvayas Hameith, the Talmud Torah connected Kula. Rav Aaron Cutler says, it's apples and oranges. Talmud Torah is Bein Adam L'Makom. These things are between man and man. What does Torah have to do? Torah is the greatest chesed. Torah is not chesed. Torah is between man and God. Says Rav Aaron Cutler, no, Torah is the greatest chesed. Because Torah is what keeps the world going. So you can do specific chasadim, but the ultimate chesed of keeping the world going is Torah. So Talmud Torah, connected kula. Talmud Torah begins, with chesed, ends with chesed. God clothed Adam and Chava, he buried Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah is chesed. Torah's chesed al-shonu. So therefore, rain represents Torah. It represents Tchias HaMesim. Okay, however, we find also that rain comes down b'gvura. Right? Gvura means that there's a din, right? It's deserved, right? Din means you have to deserve something. So rain is chesed, but the way it comes down is b'gvura. Okay, so what does that mean? That there's chesed that's deserved, and then there's chesed that is not deserved, but God does it anyway. Chesed can be deserved. And that's the ideal kind of chesed, where you deserve it. And that's what God's intention was, that people should deserve the chesed that they're getting, right? And but unfortunately, that was not possible unless people earned it. So God created a world where there's din and there's rachamim, and people get what they deserve, but that's all to preserve that original chesed, to qualify it and enable it to happen. But God's original intention was chesed, not din. But you can deserve that chesed too. So chesed comes b'gvura. Now when it comes b'gvura, it's called geshem. Mashiv haruach umorid ha-geshem. Geshem. Geshem. Go there. That's the rain coming down strongly, showing that it's deserved. Then there's matar. Matar is more the matara, the goal. It's not necessarily deserved. Sometimes you get rain and you don't deserve it. God does a total chesed, not undeserved chesed. That's also chesed. That's the even greater chesed. It's undeserved. Then it's called matar. That's why when we speak about givuras gesham, in the strength of rain, which is the kind of chesed that's deserved, we say mashiv haruach umorid ha-geshem. When we ask for rain, we are not so presumptuous to say we only want it if we deserve it. God will take it even if we don't deserve it. Then we ask for matar, the same talum matar. The main thing is the goal. That's why when we deserve rain, it's called geshem. V'nosati gishmeichem be'itam. By imbechukosai teleichu. If you'll keep the Torah, you'll deserve the rains. Then it's called geshem. But in the second parasha of Kriya Shema, we don't deserve it. It's enosim ritzono shumako. Then it says, v'nosati metar artzechem be'ito. It's not with the rain that you deserve. It's rain is coming basically for the ground. It's coming for the result, not necessarily the what's it called. That parasha, Chazal says, talking enosim ritzono. Even though it says, v'ayim shamot ishmu, but there's missing over there, b'chol ma'odeichem. It's talking where you don't deserve it 100%. Now, it's not Osim Ritzono Shomakom. Therefore, it's called Matar Artzechem. You're getting it not because you deserve it, you're getting it because God's chesed is, He wants to preserve the world. Okay, now, when the world was created, God created it with the midah of chesed. Chesed means God's intention was to shower His goodness unconditional on the world. And that was the purpose, to shower His goodness unconditionally on the world, and specifically on man. But God saw that that would not accomplish the purpose, because if He showered His goodness unconditionally, and people didn't deserve it and earn it, they wouldn't appreciate it. So it wouldn't be the ultimate chesed. So in order to make that chesed the ultimate chesed, it had to go through a process where there was din. You got what you deserved. You earned it. Okay? And then, if you earned it, then the chesed that God showered on you was totally appreciated. So it was a real chesed. Unfortunately, God saw that most people wouldn't earn it. So if He made His chesed dependent on earning it, many people wouldn't earn it at all. So then, we're back to where we started. There's no more chesed. So God tempered the din with rachamim. Rachamim is not chesed. Rachamim is not unconditional giving. Rachamim tempers the din. There's still din, but there's mercy. In other words, the mercy mitigates the din. It it tempers it, but it's not something separate from din. It's still din. Right? I'll give an example. The din says that somebody has to be stoned to death. That's what he deserves. Did a sin. So the rachamim is you have to stone the person, except you break the boulder into little grains of sand, you throw that on the person. So the din is fulfilled, the person has been stoned. But instead of stoning him with a boulder and killing him, you're stoning him now with that boulder broken up into its components. That's rachamim. Rachamim does not contradict the din. It just mitigates it and softens it. But that's not chesed. Chesed is unconditional. So in order to preserve the original chesed, it had to be earned. But in order to preserve the fact that it could be earned, there had to be rachamim too. But ultimately, everything boils down to somehow conveying that chesed in a way that it can be received. Okay. That's why in Shemoneh Esrei we say the following. Hatov ki lo cholu rachamecha, v'hamarachem ki lo samu chasodecha. If you think about it, it should be just the opposite. Hamarachem ki lo samu rachamecha. You're the Merachim because your Rachim didn't go right out. What is it? Hamerachim ki losamu chasadecha. What it means is like this. God is Hatov. He's the ultimate good. And He wanted to shower that good on people. But He knew that that good wouldn't be total good if it wasn't unearned. So He made it that it has to be earned. But if He didn't give Rachamim, then nobody would earn it really. Most people wouldn't earn it. So Hatov Kilochalu rachamecha. God is good. His chesed can be conveyed because there's also rachamim. Rachamim means that there's din, and there's rachamim that makes that din easier to receive. And hamarachim, but why is God marachim? Not because rachamim is the goal. Chesed is the goal. Hamarachim kilosamu chasadecha. Because you want to give that chesed, that's why you created rachamim, but not because rachamim is the goal. The goal is the chesed. But without the rachamim, which tempers the din, the chesed wouldn't be able to be given. So therefore, in order to convey that chesed, which is the ikar, the yuar tov, you need rachamim, which presupposes that there's din. Okay. Now, if that's the case, so I want to say like this, and this is where, not so simple. Okay, I have no place I can say, here's my source for this. But it's a thought. I have a little bit of a source, but it's really not the case. Okay, the thing is like this. I want to say like this. Even though God created this system, his intention was chesed, but he had to contain the chesed within din and rachamim in order to reach that chesed in the end, that really didn't take place till the Torah was given completely. And that, it says, there were 26 generations where God still functioned with chesed. The din and the rachamim were not that strong because there wasn't a Torah yet in the world. So 26 generations, and that's why Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Li Olam Chasdo has 26 verses connected the 26 generations which existed with chesed without that yet full din v'rachamim. Of course it was din v'rachamim, not full. I want to say even more than that. And here's where it's just conjecture, okay, if there is such a thing in Torah. That before the flood, the way that God dealt with the world was not yet through din and rachamim, but was through chesed, total chesed. True, individuals were already judged with din and rachamim. The world as a world was still being run with that original chesed. Didn't yet go into the mode of din and rachamim. Even though it says, Bereishis bar elokim es hashamayim es haaretz, but I showed you that until 26 generations, it really didn't take full effect. So I'm just extending that until the mabul, it didn't take effect in general at all. The world was still being run with total chesed, and the din and rachamim yet didn't kick in 100%, for at least for the world itself. And therefore, when God wanted to destroy the world, it wasn't because he judged them to be destroyed. It wasn't din. It was chesed that demanded the world be destroyed. What's the idea? God has this tremendous desire to shower his goodness on the world, right? Bring it to fruition, that everything could be eternal and have a connection to him. And the world is decayed. It's mushchas. Vayar Elokim ki ha'aretz nishchasa. It's decayed. And if it remains like this, the chesed's never going to come out. The world's going to destroy itself. Instead of having a world where God's chesed, right, enables people to connect themselves to him eternally, it's not going to happen. It's decaying. There's nothing here that's going to remain. And I want the world to reach that chesed. So what do you do when you have a person who's decaying? In other words, he has diseased parts, and if you let those diseased parts continue, they'll destroy the person. If you have chesed, if you have tremendous feelings of kindness towards that person, what do? You make an operation. And you take out the diseased parts in order that the rest of the person should exist. You're not doing it because you want to hurt the diseased part. Not because you're judging the diseased part. It's because your kindness to want this person to continue to live is so great that the only way you'll do that is by taking away the diseased part. So when God destroyed most of the world and saved Noah, he didn't do it as din. He didn't do it because he judged them that they had to be destroyed. But he saw that they were destroying that chesed, and in order to preserve the chesed, he had to destroy the decayed part. And that's why, I want to say, this never bothered me before. Maybe it only bothered me because it seems to be a proof to what I'm saying, or at least it goes very good with what I'm saying. But it's a question. It says, "Vayinochem Hashem ki boris adam ba'aretz," right? And he said, "What's it called? Emches kol yikum." Everybody have a chumash here. You can quote the pasuk pashit, but it says, "What's it called? Vayar lokim." One second. Here is it. Let's see if I quoted the pasuk here. Don't see the passage. Yeah, Emches ha'adam Hashem borasi, and the next passage is the Noach motzachein b'nei Hashem. It should have said Aval Noach motzachein b'nei Hashem. The contrast the two. Here, God is destroying them, and but Noach motzachein b'nei Hashem. What's the vin Noach? Sounds like it's a hemshech. It shouldn't be a hemshech. It's not a hemshech. God destroying them and a hemshech. No, it is. It's all chesed. The whole purpose of destroying them is in order to preserve Noah so the world can be preserved. Because if I don't destroy them, the world won't be preserved. I'm not destroying it because I'm judging these people to be destroyed. It has nothing to do with judgment. It's because the Rabbanu Shlom has the desire to do chesed and to see that his chesed is preserved. And in order to do that, he has to cut away the part that's decayed and destroying that chesed. That's what it says. Here. And that's why he says, Vayar Hashem ki rabba ra'as ha'adam. Even though Chazal do say that they changed the Midas HaRachamim to Midas HaDin. But maybe it's another idea. It's all Midas HaRachamim. And it's not even Rachamim. Hashem is Chesed. God who created the world, the Mahave, was because he wanted to do Chesed. Vayar Hashem ki rabba ra'as ha'adam ba'aretz. V'chol yetzer machshavos libo rak rakol hayom. Vayinochem Hashem ki yasev adam ba'aretz. Why? Because it's his chesed. It's not being fulfilled. Vayisatzev alibo. Vayomer Hashem. Em ches ha'adam Hashem borasi. Me'al pnei adoma mi'adam an behema. Ad remes v'yarov ha'shamayim. Ki nichamti ki asisim. It's not the reason I created them. That they shouldn't receive that chesed. Stam to be decayed. V'noah. However, there's a hope. There's a Noah. Motzachein v'ni Hashem. Chein. Chesed. Matnas china. There's somebody who, if I take away the decayed part, will be able to continue the world and fulfill that chesed. So he's destroying them because of chesed, not because of din. That's the idea. That also explains what we say in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, which everybody asks. There's all different answers. But according to this, it's not even a question. It says, V'ganis Noach v'ava zocharta v'haviyachas mehamabu l'shachis kovosor al-kain bo-zichro l'fonecho. I mean, al-kain. Because God was going to destroy the world. That's why he remembered Noah. What's one thing have to do with the other one? Noah was remembered because he was a tzaddik. These people were Rishoyim. They got punished. He didn't get punished. It's not al-kain bo-zichro. Since God decided to, what's it called, destroy the whole world, nipnei ro'am al-aleihem, al-kain bo... No, but that's the idea. It's all one thing. Because the Rabbanu Shlom wanted to preserve the chesed that he intended when he created the world, and he had a way of doing that through Noah, therefore it was kedai to destroy the rest to preserve that chesed through Noah, because if he wouldn't have, they would have destroyed the chesed completely. So it wasn't din, it wasn't rachamim, it was chesed. Therefore Noah couldn't pray for his generation. If God was destroying them with din, then you can pray for rachamim. But if God's destroying them because kulo chesed, then you can't daven the chesed should go away. There's no din and rachamim functioning over here. There's just kulo chesed. In kulo chesed, you can't daven. There's no place to daven. So that's why Noach didn't daven for his generation. And that's why it says, Asara doros me'odam ad Noach kol kach loma lahudia erechapama erechapayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu shekol hadoros hayu machisim ad shehevi aleim es me'amabu. Now, something's missing here, because if we're learning kama erech apayim, how patient God is, there's something, right? So he's patient for 10 generations. Ad shevi aleim. So obviously he's not so patient because he destroyed him with the mabul. So the Rabbeinu Yonah Taka points that out. He says kama erech apayim means how patient God is and how patient he's not. His patient also runs out. We learn how patient God is, that he's patient for 10 generations, but not more than that. But according to what we're saying, there's no kasha. The whole thing is erech apayim. God is merciful, not merciful. He is patient, He wants his chesed to be fulfilled. And therefore, he didn't destroy those 10 generations till 10 generations passed, and he had a way, a Noah, to continue the world with. Right? If you have a patient, Rahman al-Islam, that is diseased, and everything's diseased, there's nothing to say, then you can't make an operation. Then the chesed is, leave it, and it's going to go. It's going to destroy. It's going to be destroyed. But if you have something now that you can save, the heart is still okay. So you can take out all the diseased part, leave that, and the person will live. Now the Erech HaPayim says, bring the Mabul and let Noach survive. All of that is chesed. Because if you let the diseased part live, you're destroying the chesed. So it's out chesed God destroyed the world. And then Noach Matzachim. It's all one unit. It's not two separate things. Based on this, okay, that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam destroyed them with chesed. That's why he destroyed them with rain. Rain is the ultimate symbol of chesed. And that's why God destroyed them with rain, because the destruction was chesed. It's yours. The destruction was chesed, the destruction was not din. It wasn't din, it wasn't rachamim, it was mamish rain. That was the destruction. And that why after the flood things changed. After the flood, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, if I deal with the world with this kulo chesed, and there's no din where there can be rachamim, then I could have to destroy the world again. I could come to such a situation where the world is decayed and diseased, and I'll have to destroy the world. That's chesed. That's some chesed. Therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, from now on we go into a new mode. It's not just going to be chesed. The chesed is going to have to be mitigated by din and rachamim. What's the symbol of that? What's the symbol of chesed being mitigated by din and rachamim? The rainbow. Why? The rainbow is a combination of rain and the sun, the light of the sun. The sun represents everything under the sun is in this physical world, which is a world of din. The world of limitations boundaries. That's it. World of boundaries. And therefore, the fire of the sun, is fire. That's din. Is going to be mixed with the chesed. That's rachamim. But it's not going to be total chesed like rain. The rain is going to form now a rainbow, which breaks down the din into its components, all the different colors. That's rachamim. Rachamim is where you temper the din by breaking it down into its colors. So the rainbow represents a new hanhaga. I'm not going to deal with the world anymore kulo chesed, because that has its milas, it has its chesronos. Now we're going to have din, but din can have rachamim. That's why Avraham Avinu, when Sodom was destroyed, with fire. Din. If there's din, there could be rachamim. There could be rachamim. You could daven for them. That's why Avraham davened for the people of Sodom, whereas Noach didn't daven for the people of the Dor HaMabul. And that's why all the other destructions that came, that were localized, that weren't total world, because chesed is something total, so it destroys the whole world, except for what's left. Here it's localized things. So one thing was destroyed with fire, that's Sodom. Then there was something destroyed with the offer, that was the Dor HaFlaga, right? The din of them was that boundary of the world called earth. Then Mitzrayim was destroyed with Ruach, right? The Ruach split the sea. So Ruach destroyed, and then Ruach brought back the sea. So Mitzrayim was Ruach, right? So you had Dor HaMabul was Mayim, but that was total chesed. After that, it was Eish, Ofer, and Ruach, which are the boundaries of this world. That's already din, and that can be mitigated with Rachamim. It could be that's the idea that Noach lived in a different world, but Doro saw. Noach was a tzaddik in his door where God's total chesed existed. So for somebody good like Noach, that was a good benefit. Had Noach lived in a generation of Avram, where there already was din, maybe Noach wouldn't have been judged so so favorably with din. But chesed, yes. Right? Noah, in order to preserve the world with chesed, Noah was able to survive. But in a different scenario, different environment, maybe Noah wouldn't. That's the thing. Noah avadai, the way he was in that thing, if he'd been a generation of greater tzaddikim, in the same scenario, he would have been even greater. But had he been in a different environment, the environment where there's already din and rachamim, and it's not chesed, then maybe he would have been judged differently. So they're both true. That's the genai and the shevach. Noah, had he been in a generation of tzaddikim and not rishoyim, and God was still dealing with chesed, would have been even a greater tzaddik. But had he lived in the generation of Avram, which is already not the generation of chesed, even though Avram Avinu was chesed, but he was chesed that contained within it din and rachamim. How do I know? Because Avram Avinu contained within him Yitzchak and Yaakov. Yitzchak and Yaakov were just emanations from that chesed of Avram. And Yitzchak was din, and Yaakov was rachamim. So Avram Avinu already was a chesed that was contained in din and mitigated by rachamim. It wasn't the kind of chesed of Noah's time, which was totally without any din and without any rachamim. So it can be destructive, that kind of chesed, right? In order to preserve the chesed, but there's no rachamim then. Then it's total destruction as long as you preserve what's preservable. Okay. So in any case, that's the basic idea. Anybody have any comments? And that's why the world was destroyed with rain. Seems incongruous. Rain is such a symbol of chesed. Why would Rabban Shem choose to destroy the world with rain? And not with fire, not with just water stop. Why rain dafka? Based on what we said, because the destruction of the world that first time was because the concepts of din and rachamim were not yet operative. And God destroyed the world with chesed. Yeah, in a chanami. When the Rabban Shem created the world, he created it with that in mind. But that's what I told you. There were 26 generations that still existed on chesed. So the full din and rachamim didn't take place till after Matan Torah. So based on that, I'm just extending a little bit, that till after the Mabul, it didn't really take effect bichlal, legabe klal ha'olah, only legabe individuals. So the Rabban Shem created that, knowing that eventually there's going to be a Torah, and eventually there's going to be a Mabul or whatever, and he's going to need that. But up until the Mabul, he still functioned with that original chesed. Legabi klal ha'olam. I have no right. But just the fact that the kasha, if you're asking Lais, is a good kasha. But you see that there were 26 generations where something was different. Till Matan Torah. That there was taka hanhog of chesed without that full din in rachamim. So I'm just extending it a little bit, that's all. A lot. Okay. Yeah. One second. Wait. You're one step farther than Rabbi Korman, and now I can see. Yes. Very simple. It fits perfectly what we just told you. The question is, why does it say Mechal Kel Chayim B'Chesed Mechaye Meisim B'Rachamim Rabim? The Rabban Shem gives life unconditionally. Everybody gets it. Whoever's was supposed to be created. That's chesed. Mechalkel means kol. Right? Everything person gets, what's it called? The chesed. But if you're going to be zochet to tchias ha-meisim from that life that you got, depends if you earn it or not. Earning it depends on din. Earning it depends on the rachamim that mitigates the din. So mechayim meisim v'rachamim rabim. It's rachamim rabim, it's not chesed anymore. It's not free, not everybody gets tchias ha-meisim b'chesed. You get life b'chesed. But you only get tchias ha-meisim b'rachamim rabim. Yeah.
Are there not some places in Chazal where Noah is criticized for not davening for a generation?
Yes and no. It doesn't say that Noah is criticized. It says, ki mei Noah hili. The Mabul was called on Noah's name because he didn't daven for his generation. Now that doesn't mean necessarily he did something wrong. It means that, the way I'm saying, Mei Noach means this was a different environment. This was Mei Noach. This was the kind of world that existed with Noach Motzo Chen. Chen, a Chen world. Right? Avraham Avinu's world is a different world, and he was able to daven. It doesn't say that Noach was He was blamed for this. It's not like, you know, Noah got the covet of having a marble named after him. People pay a lot of money to have things named after him. Noah got the marble named after him, right? On his name, right? Al Shem Noah, Zeh HaMabul Al Shem Noah, right? It doesn't necessarily mean that it was an onish or it was a criticism. It was just to point out this was a different world. This is May Noah. This was a world that existed on Chesed. It doesn't exist anymore like that. The world till Tchias HaMeshim exists differently. That also bothered me. Yeah, but okay. Yeah.
I was just thinking an idea. When Joshua and Benesra, they came into Israel by crossing the Yordan. Right after crossing the Yordan, you can say Yarden is your red knee. Yarden is your red knee down. That is similar to this. Maybe a Gadol Baruch Hu is your red knee midat adin, and that the Lashen on the Lili Yopo, because if we lived the Yarden then, we wouldn't survive. So if you're red knee midat adin, and have to rachem to live the enable us to live.
That could be, it's a nice pshat, but that's also not chesed. That's another proof to what I'm saying is, by stone, by Dor HaFloga, it says by Yerid Hashem, Liros. By the Mabul, it doesn't say that. By Yerid, the Mefarshim always mean that the Rabban Hashem went from Midas Hadin to Midas Harachmin, was Yorei, from one Mida to another Mida. By the Mabul, there was no Mida. It was all Chesed. Vayar Hashem, Midas HaChesed, Ki Haaretz Nishchasa. It was kulo from the standpoint of chesed. There was no yurida. There was no midos. Again, I wish I had a makor for this, but what?
After the mabul, it says again Elohim.
Right, and immediately after the mabul, it's only Elohim. After that is Elohim, and before the mabul is kimat not Elohim. Only after the mabul is another what's it called proof. Okay, it's not 100% because there are Elohims before. But most of it is Hashem before the Mabul. The thought of destroying the world is all Hashem. Chazal say that the Rishoyim are Mahapach, Midas Harachim and Midas Hadin. That's why it says Hashem. But it could be that, according to this pshat, there's no Rachim, there's no Din, there's just Chesed, that's Yud Kei Vav Kei. After the Mabul, the Rebbe Shimon changed it, and that answers why there won't be another Mabul. Because once you're dealing with chesed, there's no rachamim. You can't ask for rachamim that God should take away his chesed. So he's destroying the world, that's chesed. So that's it, finished. But once he's not doing it anymore of rachamim, not of chesed, he's doing it with din, now there's rachamim. So now there's something that'll temper it and never destroy the whole world. And that's the symbol of the rainbow, the way you explained. Like taking that rain and tempering it with the gvura sadin, ending up with rachamim, which is a rainbow. Okay, it's a machshav. You're allowed to say, as long as they have no nafkamina le halacha, you could say a pshat, as long as it's not ridiculous. Ridiculous, I don't think it is, but there's something to think about, yeah.
Why did Messias change at that point? I mean, yes, it's a great event that happened, but why?
Because the real Ratzon Hashem was, as long as he could keep the chesed going, that's the ideal. Because that was his original intention. All the other things were to be able to, what's it called, preserve that chesed if it could be done. That's why it says that once the Rabban Hashem said, you need din. The world can't be chesed because chesed won't be appreciated. Okay? Now you need din. But then, if you have din, it's again, the people are not going to deserve it. So not only they're not going to get deserved chesed, they're going to get nothing. So it's Tashul Nachesed. Now you need Racham. But the Rabban Hashem didn't want to have to keep changing the situation or modifying it. Therefore, there are people who can exist only by Midas Hadin in this world. So they don't get any Racham. Because that's ideal. All these things were just because the ideal couldn't be. Because God was creating an imperfect world, so the ideal would have been Chesed. And the people could appreciate it. But Lamaisa, an imperfect world means you don't appreciate what's given to you without earning it. So now we have to make it earn it. Then, because of that, we have to have rachamim. It's all modification. As much as you can get by without the modification, better. Then you're getting closer to the source. So there's still a madrega where you don't need the, what's it called, the rachamim. There's people who can exist only bedin. And that was Rabbi Akiva, whatever, or Yaakov Avinu. Kach also b'machshava lefanei, Shalach HaKadosh says. That's what the God said to the angels. Rabbi Akiva is getting what my original intention was after the chesed. Din. That's how you get the chesed. True, he's suffering. Because it's kulo din, no rachamim. But that's the way it was supposed to be to begin with for people who could function like that. Rabbi Akiva lived 120 years before this din caught up with him. And his olam hava is unbelievable because it's all earned. No rachamim. That's ideal. Yaakov Avinu, Voya Hashem, Lila Lokim. Only din. And that's why when he bragged to Paro about his life, he said, my life was miserable, short, not like my, right? What kind of chil Hashem is that? He's a tzaddik. But in Yaakov Avinu's mind, that was the greatest thing. Wow, Baruch Hashem, I only had Yisurim and Tzar, no Rachamim in this world. That's the greatest thing. Except he didn't realize, he's talking to Paro. Paro hears that, those words, he doesn't see that as, hey, wow, you had a great life, all Tzaris or whatever. Right? Yaakov Avinu understood it like that. Paro didn't understand it. For Paro, it's chil Hashem.
Once heard by Pinchas, the Tzar Spora, that the Holocaust was a way of robbing him to save Klal Yisrael from assimilation.
Okay. That definitely is sometimes the Rabban Shalom again. And it's an operation. That's not this chesed.
That God might have to do that again, considering how man is destroying this world.
So sometimes you need an operation, which is very painful and cuts away a lot of even good flesh, right? Because you can't dafka take away the decayed disease part. But sometimes you get away with medicine, right? So maybe sometimes what's it called? That was necessary then. Now Mr. Hashem will get by with some sweet medicine, not even bitter medicine.
But you said about the Geshem that he couldn't be Mitalev the Stamid because it's
Chesed.
In the Gemara it talks about
Amos Paul and Marovtov. I wanted to say that. Right, I wanted to bring that as a proof. But it's not a proof. Because that only applies where it's too much rain, but it's not destructive. You can pray that a hurricane should stop. Okay, that's not Amos Paul Marovtov. If it's just annoying, then that halacha applies. Mm-hmm. If it's downright destructive, right, so the rain over here was not just annoying, right, it was downright destructive. So it doesn't really fit. I'm sorry you brought it up, because on the surface I said, hey, that's a tremendous rice, you don't daven arov tova. But after looking into it, the mepharshim say beferish, that if it's destructive, avad you can daven. Right, so I just wanted to mention it.
Is destructive what daven?
Well, but that's because we live in a world now where there is din and rachamim. But at that time, the Geshem was taka totally chesed. Then you can't daven. And not because of this halacha of Amos Palma looked over. Similar, but not exact. Yeah. Yeah.